I call the Wrangell Assembly to order for our special meeting Thursday, August 21, 2025. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Robbins.
Here.
Mock.
Here.
Audison.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
Howe.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. Next on the agenda, persons to be heard. We had a wonderful workshop prior to this special meeting, and we have three items on the special meeting. Thank you. First up is Dale Parkinson.
Dale Parkinson, I have some questions and comments about the other two MOUs that we're talking about.
Thank you.
And the America Lines, I have a concern that we would lose control of our town, and that I would like to make certain that we have restrictions put into place of how many ships, what size, and how many total passengers will be getting off in Wrangell any given day, that we don't get inundated. And my next point is, I found Wrangell from a cruise. I came up here on a cruise in 2005, and every other port that we got off at was shops owned by the cruise lines, and came to Wrangell, and it was refreshingly different. And I don't want to see Wrangell become Juneau or Ketchikan. We have cruise line owned businesses. They bring their own goods, they bring their own personnel, and then those shops close up for the winter. I don't want to see that. So that pretty much concludes my comments about the America Line. Green Spark, is that the correct name?
Correct. Uh-huh.
I looked at their website today, and there's virtually nothing there. And I want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence to know who these people are. They have almost zero experience, and they have one site in Cordova, apparently. It doesn't give any information about it to speak of. And I am concerned that this is a virtual operation. That is, you know, if you look at all the words on their website, it all looks like AI generated. It doesn't appear to be real. And so I would like to have the assembly be very, very cautious and do their due diligence of who are these people and what experience do they have and can they really perform. My second concern is that they say they're going to generate their own electricity. Fine, we're not going to give you any, because I can very easily see a situation like we had, I believe it was last winter, where the word went out, oh, the Tyee lines are at maximum capacity, please curtail your electricity usage. Well, that was after the assembly drawn people into electric power quite a number of years ago, gave a reduced rate for electricity, and then that got boring, and that rate got raised up to approximately the same as the regular rate. And now that we have a lot of people heating their homes with electricity, I would hate to see this new business get priority over the citizens of Wrangell, and we can't heat our homes because their plan failed. Water didn't run because it was frozen, they couldn't do hydro, they couldn't make electricity, there wasn't enough trash to burn, or whatever their plan is. I would like to not have the citizens of Wrangell be the backup or the power for this company. And as I say, I'm not getting a real warm, fuzzy feeling about this company because there's no information out there. So I'd like us to be very, very careful. And a lot of the discussion in the MOU is, you need to prove to us that you can actually do what you say you can do. Because this seems to be pretty thin. So,
thank
those
you.
Are my comments.
Thank you. Good words of wisdom, caution there. Anyone else? All right. Item three, amendments to the agenda. Any assembly member have any amendments to offer up? All right, seeing none, conflict of interest. Any assembly member have any conflict on any of the three items? All right, hearing none. Item 5A, new business, approval of an MOU between Alaska Marine Lines and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Move to approve a memorandum of understanding between Alaska Marine Lines and the City and Borough of Wrangell. Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Odison.
All right. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Obviously, we had a lengthy and fairly hot work session for the last hour and a half or so. Appreciate the conversation. I appreciate all those in attendance and your contributions. Hope to answer some of the questions that were said in that public forum. So this is, again, is the MOU between Alaska Marine Lines and the borough. This is a framework for pursuing an alternative at the mill property. What that'll entail is conceptual design, cost estimates that are determined and publicized. We think that this is a real enough opportunity that we might as well invest the engineering funding to get a firm cost estimate. We believe it's going to be somewhere in the $5 to $7 million neighborhood. We'll look at that alternative at that point, look at arranging an ownership structure and a way to finance this improvement to the community. And from that point, we'll either get to a deal or not, and realize that it's either the alternative of our choice or not. And so just kind of a blanket statement on these MOUs, these really are just a framework to explore these alternatives. And I appreciate your comments, Dale, on the American Cruise Lines and Grease Park. I'll get to those when we get to that item. But I'm going to set the record straight. I don't appreciate being grandstanded in public. I feel confident saying this diplomatically. We've been working through this process for the last 18 months. Really appreciate Dan Kelly and his team at AML. They've been super involved. I also appreciate the engagement I had with Samson. They have been invited to every meeting. The meeting that they missed, they didn't provide any notice on it at all. They missed the meeting. So to come back and say that we didn't involve them in the process in the prior work session, I think is disingenuous. There was multiple phone calls made in advance of a trip I made to Seattle, and I would like to set that record straight. So it seemed a little disingenuous in that way, and I had appreciated a phone call in advance of this assembly meeting to discuss your discontent with the MOU. I think that would have been appropriate as a good working partner and somebody I've collaborated with for the last 18 months. So in the future, I hope we do look to partner and continue collaboration that's engaged on both sides. So I think that's important to say, because I think there's a lot of confusion in the public, and rightfully so, in the last meeting about that relationship. So I look forward to improving that. And again, can't say enough great things about Alaska Marine Lines coming to the table. I think this is an alternative worth exploring, and this sets the framework for doing so. So I appreciate it.
All right. And then assembly, after the vote on this item, I'm going to ask your permission to direct the borough manager to draw up an MOU between the City and Borough of Wrangell and Samson Tug and Barge. So be prepared for that. All right. Discussion on the MOU with AML. Any discussion? It does terminate unless otherwise agreed to December 31, 2025. And again, it's a framework that the two entities will work within to try to explore options for freight service to Wrangell. Pretty straightforward. All right, hearing no other discussion, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And assembly, forgive me, I'm going a little bit out of our agenda, but may I ask permission from the assembly to direct our borough manager to draw up an MOU similar to the MOU with the city and borough and AML, and to draw that up with Samson Tug and Barge. I think that would be appropriate.
Is there discussion?
Assembly member Mock.
I would just like to put out there that right now in the current service, AML and Samson Tug and Barge are partners. You guys are using their barge to bring goods here from Ketchikan, and they're utilizing AML service to get their goods to Ketchikan. So I find it difficult to have an MOU with Samson separate and AML separate. And I don't know what the true way of putting MOUs together, but it seems like everybody's got to work together here. And I feel like one MOU for one and the MOU for the other is just going to, it's too, like, keep saying a roadway or path. Seems like it's going to go potentially two different directions.
I don't think so. I think that they work so closely together that I think if we go on the two parallel paths, they're virtually together. They will merge. I don't have any qualms about that at all.
I would just like to make sure that the date is still the same as the December 31st, 2025, so that there's no delay of action.
Correct. Yeah. I envision twin MOUs. Is that agreeable to the assembly?
Yeah.
Assembly Member Dalrymple?
It's agreeable to me, Mayor.
All right. So be it. All right. Item 5B, approval of an MOU between American Cruise Lines and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between American Cruise Lines and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Otteson. Administrative report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So moving on to a different topic, but related. Obviously, we talked about in the work session, all these puzzle pieces up in the air on our waterfront. So a great time to have American Cruise Line, who's been a stakeholder in our visitor industry here, a very significant one. They're responsible for a little over 60 port calls to our community this year and building. A little bit about American Cruise Lines. They operate currently 280-foot passenger ships, about 280-foot passenger ships, 170 passengers per ship generally, so pretty low volume. They tend to have a more mature demographic, a fairly wealthy one too, about the average price of a stateroom, about $10,000 for a 7-day cruise. And they seem to be a really good fit for the community of Wrangell in a lot of ways. That's what we keep hearing from the community. I know that I've heard that from a lot of the tour operators. I've gotten to know their leadership. I went down to the C-Trade conference and got to meet ACL down there. I ended up going to Connecticut to meet their leadership and discuss opportunities in Wrangell. And if you haven't noticed, they're doing the same thing over in Petersburg. Obviously, Petersburg, a little bit less diversified than Wrangell, a little bit bigger, but less diversified. They're kind of all in on the fishing game. And so recently, their community's been debating the very same thing as an ACL investment or a partnership to expand port infrastructure on their waterfront. So this is an opportunity to have a known character that we deal with in our visitor industry that's bringing ships that is a good fit to Wrangell. What this is an MOU. It's again a framework to establish a public-private partnership to invest in this infrastructure either jointly or between split equity between the two companies. And actually, their CEO, Charlie, and their leadership flew in Saturday after going to Petersburg. And we had a good day throughout town to kind of look at our waterfront out here. And obviously, it's a little bit dependent on what we do with our freight long term. But they're willing to make a significant investment into the waterfront. We are willing to potentially go in on it with them. But it just depends on how the deal is structured. And so this MOU is really an exploratory thing, the same as the AML. MOU that was just adopted. So the biggest things is we feel like it's a really great fit for our cruise industry here. The comment was made earlier about knowing the total passenger traffic. We set the schedules 2 years in advance. So you know, Kate and I will look at the scheduling for 2027 here in September. Traditionally, that's done through Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska. They're an outfit out of Ketchikan that runs a lot of the scheduling for Southeast Alaska. So we know well in advance generally the passenger traffic that's going to be coming through the communities. There are some standalones that don't use that agency, so the Lindblad ships and others that schedule jointly or schedule independently through our port. But the American Cruise Line footprint is so small. When you add up 170 passenger ships, even 100 port calls, you've got 17,000 people. This year we're at 42,000. Next year slated to be 72,000. That's no different in difference in product mix, and by that I mean the class of vessel that we're bringing in here. It's just more frequent sailings, and if you haven't noticed over the last few weeks, it's dwindled. The Vikings and the 500 to 900 passenger ships that come fairly frequently throughout the summer has dropped off. So it's more frequent sailings, but by and large, this MOU really focuses on the partnership, how we get the infrastructure, the type. We'll go through conceptual. In this MOU, they've talked about splitting conceptual with us. So it's a nice sign of good faith. We would split conceptual costs up to $50,000, 50-50, which I appreciate their willingness to do that. They're doing the same thing over in Petersburg. And we'll look at different design options to see if it might work for our waterfront. We'll get community feedback on it. And then we'll look at a way to finance the infrastructure. So because there is a private interest in this, though, we'll have to be very specific and intentional in how we do that. But this opens up the path to being able to discuss all those options. And again, I appreciate American Cruise Lines leadership. They've been very engaged throughout the process. They've been a good partner already. So I expect nothing less in the future. So I can comment on anything specific in the MOU, but I'll leave it at that and let you guys ask some questions.
Okay, and again, this is our second attempt to establish a private-public partnership, and we'll see how it goes. The MOU ends December 31 of this year, unless otherwise the parties agree to an extension. There is one error, typo assembly on page 21. The path to definitive agreement should be March 31, 2026. And we'll have that correction.
And I did unpublish, fixed it, not okay. Republished it.
Okay, thank you. And again, the MOU is fairly similar to the one that we have with AML and soon to have with Samson Tug and Barge.
And Madam Mayor, one other thing I forgot to mention that we implemented in each of these MOUs that I mentioned in the work session, but not here in the special session, is the EDA disaster supplemental participation. So this is a grant opportunity that allows the borough to apply for $20 to $50 million. You have to have a federally declared disaster in the last 2 years to qualify for this industry transformational pathway grant. And what that really means is getting together with 3 to 5 private sector partners and forming a coalition to discuss supporting infrastructure investments that incentivize private sector investment in Wrangell. And so we feel like we have a really great opportunity ahead of us in that respect. We have a number of partnerships in formation and already several that exist. I've gotten to benefit through that through our community leadership meetings that we have with local stakeholders.
Right.
So I think that's a really important responsibility that's ingrained in all of these, and just wanted to make that clear. But generally, same structure with all these MOUs. We're going to go look at conceptual and design together. We're going to be responsible for the things that are characteristic of government. We're going to look at the permitting side. We're going to look at the regulatory environment, the utilities, the subdivisions, the surveys, that type of stuff. And they'll be responsible for being the experts in the infrastructure that best serve them. But one other thing to make very clear is we understand, and I agree with it personally, the community of Wrangell wants control of where tourism goes. We're very aware of that. I think Petersburg is seeing the same thing, that we want to be in control of our waterfront and control the pace of growth and stall it where needed. We don't want to end up as other communities are in Sitka and Ketchikan and Juneau and clawing back and doing ballot initiatives because there's no quality of life anymore and people can't enjoy their downtown. So we're very, very aware of that. And we're committed to finding a structural relationship between ACL that matches their needs and what they require to be successful in Wrangell, and also what is beneficial for our community. I think the golden opportunity out of all this with ACL is they're looking for a lot of preferred space across Southeast and really looking for a place to turn all their clients. Doing so would require additional accommodations. Another hotel of about 90 rooms is what would be required, and additional air service. But not out of the question. I think that the community of Wrangell makes sense. There's a lot of opportunity to develop our waterfront. There could be additional accommodations made on that waterfront. And imagine, you know, 170 passenger vessel pulling in port, offloading their passengers at a hotel. They're staying in Wrangell versus in a hotel room for the night, eating out and staying here that much longer. The other the cool thing about their guests is they do stay for longer periods of time. Most cruise ships we see come in around 7 a.m. or, you know, variable within a couple hours, 7 a.m. and they leave about dinner time. So these cruise ships a lot of times stay for, you know, 16 to 24 hours depending on the itinerary. And I know that Mr. Powers in the room, you know, is playing music on those at nighttime, and they stay the night and they take their morning walk. And so they're really kind of an extension of the community, which is really great. So no different than having almost seasonal employees like Trident has here as part of our community. So I think there's that opportunity, and I'm just rambling, so I'll stop.
Yeah, I think would be a good economic opportunity for Wrangell, and we are not in competition with Petersburg. Petersburg may be a little bit ahead of us in their negotiations with ACL, but we're really prepared to move forward within the MOU, and obviously we'll keep the community informed along the way.
I think that's a good thing to mention, Patty, is we did meet with the SEPA board just a couple of days ago. We also had the chance to meet with leadership at Petersburg Borough, talked to their city manager, their harbor master about this. Certainly the communities aren't working against each other in this. It's not that one community gets it and the other doesn't. We feel we have a greater chance of making a good deal for our communities working together because preferred space is needed in several of these smaller communities to make the strategic plan work for ACL. So I think that we're positioned very well between the two communities, and that we'll see future collaboration, maybe even a joint assembly meeting between the two bodies on this.
Right. We think Petersburg's option strengthens our options. So I think it will work out very well. Any comments or questions? Assembly member DeBoard.
Just a comment, because I've seen it on Facebook and heard it in the community. If this was a deal for 1,000 passenger a day, I would not support it. And I don't think most of the people sitting up here would be. So I just want to kind of reiterate that my support is because it fits the community. It's not trying to change the community.
Thanks, Assembly member DeBoard. And I think it's also important to point out that Wrangell has historically been a late adopter community. It's actually paid dividends for us to be a late adopter in this environment with the cruise market, just because as communities get overwhelmed with tourism traffic, we're able to kind of pick and choose the partners that we want to deal with, that we think is a good fit for the community. And their growth trajectory is they're building other ships, but they're actually smaller than the 170 passenger ships. They're more just over 100. So I think it'll continue to be a good aligned fit for Wrangell.
And yeah, they have plans and money to build five new ships. Yeah. We are in control of our destiny, which I know is very important, in control of our future. So we will see how this MOU agreement proceeds. Any other comments, questions? Assembly member Dalrymple?
No, I'm good, Mayor.
A poll vote, please.
Assembly members Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Evans?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Motion passes. Last item for tonight, 5C, approval of an MOU between GreenSpark, a data center, and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Move to approve a memorandum of understanding between GreenSpark and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Report, please.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. Kind of going way out in right field on this one compared to the last two, unrelated to our waterfront, but very important to the SEPA board meeting we had this last couple days ago. GreenSpark's a company that we met down at Southeast Conference, not this last one, but the year before. It is a regenerative AI data center company, and you're seeing these pop up all over the country, specifically in areas where hydropower is accessible. Hydropowers in areas that have that resource are incredibly desirable, just because the cheap power that these data centers require. You're going to see more of them in Alaska because we have a lot of hydro project potential. Southeast is no different. You are right. I'm looking at the website. There's a project up in Cordova. The CEO and founder of this company, Sam Anoka, is from North Pole, Alaska originally, even though the company's based out in California. So we met out at Southeast Conference. They've also presented to SEPA. The community of Ketchikan and Petersburg are well-versed in understanding this opportunity as well. I think Ketchikan will pursue it. But I think there's a lot of things at play here. The reason that the Millcroft site for this venture is it's on a separate circuit for power. Back when the mill was running in the day, there used to be a 5-megawatt transformer in the switchyard, the SEPA switchyard that's out about the 4-mile area. And that 5 megawatts was supplied to that whole site for the mill. That conduit is still strung and has the capacity for about 5 megawatts, about 5.7 megawatts actually. And SEPA has committed, not just for this enterprise and venture, but committed to the community for bringing forward a budget line item for FY26 to re-implement a transformer and potentially a reactor that switchyard. Basically, what we would require to power up the mill property for this and other industrial uses as we continue to talk about development of that very critical and strategic site. So what that really means is when we get power from Taiyi, which is our project here on the north end that supplies 12 megawatts of power to the communities of Petersburg and Wrangell first, and then if we don't use it, Ketchikan can take it off the intertie, is that 5 megawatts that would roll through the switchyard, that doesn't come through downtown, doesn't go through any of our feeder systems, feeders 1 through 4, no upgrades would be required to that. There's already the conduit strung, so it's its own independent siloed thing. Now, the question was kind of posed about backup generation. Backup generation would be something we would potentially seek out for the EDA disaster supplemental grant. We do have generally commensurate backup generation, except for very, very high demand in a peak loading cycle in the wintertime. So when you see a 6-degree week here in Wrangell and people are burning a lot of power, we generally are covered, but depending on the demand and its increase, we will require future generation capacity in the future. So this is even a way to potentially get that and achieve that. Mm-hmm. And coincidentally enough, there's a building on the northeastern portion of the mill property, a 100-by-50 steel building. It's actually in really great shape still, that could be used as a generation building. I've already instructed our light and power director to look into looking into quotes for 2 EMDs. They're 3.5 megawatts each in supply, so that could be used as an opportunity for backup generation. But this company, GreenSpark, builds these projects to the infrastructure available. Now, the other question that was kind of posed was what happens when the community demand is met in the wintertime and these guys want our power, and what's the priority? Well, there's a lot of different ways to skin that. What you charge them is an interruptible rate, meaning that you're able to interrupt power service and they're responsible for their backup generation, or we will carry you in second priority depending on the structure. So these are all things to talk about and investigate. And really these MOUs, kind of, you can chalk them up as a due diligence period on a specific alternative that we're looking at. So, very stand-up leadership, really appreciate what they're doing for some of these communities. A 2 megawatt data center in Wrangell, which is kind of what we're thinking, translates to about 1.3 million power sales each year for our wholesale provider, and a little less than half of that for the community. A little bit of context about summer months, we're usually running between 3 and 4.5 megawatts in the summertime. You can check out SEPA SCADA to see what we're burning right now. And in the wintertime, we come closer to the 7.5 to 11, just depending. 11 is really severe. That means we got real cold weather or something. But so generally, that's what the story is on that. I will also report a little bit of learnings from the SEPA meeting. When we talk about horsepower, the agency is making future investments into grid resiliency. And so you might have heard a lot of discussion around the third turbine at Taiyi. Currently, there's two turbines down there, out there, both responsible for 12 megawatts production, so 24 in total. This other turbine would bring on another 12 megawatt turbine, and it would only be used in times where peak loading is required. So when the demand is so high in the winter months that they have to run it. If we were to run all three turbines all the time, the lake would drain pretty quickly. But this is to be deployed in times where the demand requires it. So giving greater resiliency to us, so we don't have to burn diesels. And really, there's other capacity measures that CBAR is taking. So there's a lot involved in this. I think it's a great opportunity. It's something that we want to get out ahead of, because we do have the dedication of the firm power sales of the north, 24 megawatts out of Taiyi. And that's split between us and Petersburg. So they could very well be having the same conversation, and they could put a data center here, and we would have that much less on the north end to be split between the two of us. So that's something everybody realizes. And contrary to the ACL thing, this might be something we compete for.
And we're going to compete for this.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, the third turbine also allows us to maintain the other two.
That's correct.
Take them offline. And yeah.
Yep. That's correct. Kind of like our 3 DAF trains at our water treatment plant.
Right. Okay, I think you mentioned everything on that. Any questions or comments, Assembly? Right. Assembly Member Dalrymple, anything?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly Member Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBord?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Thank you, Assembly. That completes our special meeting. We will adjourn at 7:50.